Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tank.
And there is no Craig this week because... Dun-da-da-da!
I was going to make that sound if you didn't.
Craig now has a baby.
Oh, yeah.
So wonderful.
Two down, two to go.
That's right. That's right. Now it's just a race to see if Craig... Never mind. That wasn't going to come out, right?
Yeah, if you guys can have a second kid before we have our first.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, if one of us can pop out a baby before you guys can, but it doesn't work like that. I'm not going to...
Wait, how does it work?
Moving on. So this week, I had the privilege and the honor of being the foreman who has to solve the problems on the job site. So for those of you who don't know, I work solar. We put solar panels on people's roofs and in their fields and things. And in this case, it was in a field. So we have to pound posts to support solar panels and stuff. And before we do that, we have to call out. It's PA1 call. There's one calls in other states, too. They're named differently. But you call them, and they come out and mark all the places on the field that you're at before you dig of, hey, these are power lines. You're not supposed to dig right here. Don't dig right here or else things will explode. And so that was done. We did that. We start pounding posts. And with this big old thing we call a gack, and pound it into the ground. And the second post that we pound, the hole starts smoking where the post is. Big, big giant metal post.
That doesn't seem good.
No, no, it's not. So we ended up hitting the customer's secondary line, which is, technicalities aside, the power company ends up not being responsible for that, and we have to fix it. Mm. So that was fun, but that was not the only thing. We also hit a primary somewhere else in the field, and we're talking like 6 inches off of each of these. Pipes, and we would have been fine. We would have been golden, but ended up hitting a second one too, and so I had to fix all the problems on Monday, and that felt like an entire week in and of itself.
That's rough. Did you have to work late, or were you able to get it all done in time?
Fortunately, no. We hired an electrician to come out and fix the customer side. The electric company had to fix the other one. And it's yet to be seen whose fault it will end up being. But, you know, these are the fun things of doing this kind of stuff. On a lighter note, it is my birthday tomorrow as we record. And my wife threw me a lovely birthday party on Wednesday evening with a couple of friends and Star Wars.
Nice.
It was delightful.
That's awesome.
It made everything better. So.
Have you guys seen that weirdo Chewbacca woman thing?
Yes.
The viral video?
It's adorable. I love it.
No, it's... Why is it viral?
Because... I don't know. I just saw it and I enjoyed it. I didn't know it was a viral thing when I first saw it. But I thought
Tank,
it was
have
adorable.
Seen it?
I have not seen it. I've seen a picture of it, but have not seen it.
Okay. Well, it's weird.
It's so great. It's better if you don't know what it is going into it.
That's fair. One of our friends last night, we were over at their house and she was like, hey, have you guys seen the Chewbacca woman? And we were like, what is that? And then they showed it to us and my wife is cracking up laughing. And I am like so confused at my own existence and the culture of our society. I do not even know.
Personally, though, I would not mind having a mask of that magnitude. That's a fantastic mask. But
also this week, we want to welcome a very special set of guests to our Slack, David and Joe from Helvetic, a podcast. David's been there for a while. Joe joined today, and we gave them their own channel specific to discussing design and theology and the episodes of their podcast and just all the content that they talk about. We are really excited to have them there. Helvetic is an awesome podcast that you should check out if you do anything with development or design, or even if you just like to hear about those kinds of things and think about theology. It's one of my new favorites. And Derek, I saw you tweeting about it this week too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great one. I'm enjoying it immensely.
Their latest episode on vocation is fantastic, and they actually talk about it in the context of being a developer specifically, so it was just really refreshing for me. It was cool.
Mm-hmm. And I think what they talked about really easily translates into other professions as well. Like when I'm, I mean, I don't mess with code or design elegant code, but I will build a beautiful solar system for you, and it will look way better than other people's because I enjoy making things well, and it's something we do to the glory of God. So yes, I really enjoyed it.
Amen.
Yeah. My wife started to go easy on me with some of my website designs, and instead of just telling me they look disgusting, I'm getting more of a, it's not too bad. So I'm looking forward to posting some of my attempts to a professional one so I can get back to the, oh, that's disgusting again.
Yeah. David said what he's really hoping for is, you know, one of the things they're hoping for is for developers in the group who are design conscious or want to be, to post some of their designs and get some good feedback from the designers in the group, which I think could be really cool.
Mm-hmm. So we have some follow-up this week. Ben, what do we got for follow-up?
Okay, well, all right. So a lot of this comes from the Slack. Brian Alexander, we are really sorry. Brian works at Ligonier, and he has corrected us that, I don't know who said it, but last week somebody said Ligonier.com. That's not right. It's Ligonier.org. So if you want to go see all of the blessings that are and have become R.C. Sproul's ministry, go to Ligonier.org, please.
Jeremy Lundmark also, he was the guest last week. Obviously. He sent us a video of an online baptism as an actual thing. It exists. And what are your thoughts about that?
Well, not even thoughts really about the whole idea of online baptism, but that specific one was so awkward. That woman had the other woman in a chokehold.
Yeah.
It was true. Just seemed so uncomfortable.
Oh. But even in a larger scale, like just seeing different things first thing, I'm not a believer in like satellite campuses for churches. Like there's one main church that gets broadcast, like there's one main pastor, and then there's like sub churches around. Like, and it appeared to be that kind of thing here. Like this woman was at was at a different campus. And so the main pastor was, you know, kind of baptizing through someone else on another. Just find a local church and be part of a local church body. It seems like it would solve a lot of problems. But anyway, that's my thoughts on the matter just looking at that video. We'll post a link to it in the show notes if you want to see it yourself.
Yeah. I thought it was weird how the pastor kept saying, "You're my hands there."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It felt a little odd to me, but sort of the whole online internet context.
Yeah. So anyway, you should check it out. It's an interesting video.
And finally, for follow-up, my brother, who listens to the show apparently, sent me an article about, it's actually a video from Comedy Central, believe it or not, about one of the late show hosts was interviewing the Prime Minister of Estonia, and they were talking about how advanced their country is in terms of technology, how advanced the government is specifically in terms of technology. They actually have online voting today, which is something that came up on the show last week. And so he sent that to me via text. Thanks, Scott, for that. It's really neat, and I'll post it. It's a pretty short, like 5-minute video, I think. And you just get to hear how great Estonia is in terms of government and technology.
Thanks, everyone, for piping in with stuff that you think about while you're listening to the shows. It's a lot of fun to interact with you guys in the episode discussion, listener feedback. So I have one of those channels in the Slack. Keep it up. Thanks for
that. May seem mystifying to people. Episode discussion is typically about the content that we talk about on the shows. Like, hopefully it would be the one that's the most recent, although previous ones are great too. Mm-hmm. And then listener feedback would be like feedback on the whole thing. Like, how could we do something better? Or how should we use the email address? Or I don't know, what new things should we talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you guys are awesome.
Or yeah.
We would take those too.
Yeah, we would take positive comments also. Positive comments are great.
So yeah, keep those coming in. We will keep mentioning them if they strike our fancy. So on to the news. This is Tech You Should Know, the part of the show where we bring you 7 tech news stories from throughout the past week that we feel are worth your consideration. In VR news this week, an Oculus Rift software update blocked an app that let Rift games play on its competitor, the HTC Vive. This, however, backfired on Oculus when the developer of Revive, the app in question, released an update later on. The update actually ends up removing DRM from Oculus Rift games, which is arguably worse for Oculus in this case. The developer said he didn't want to go down this path, but he felt there was no other way. Facebook announced an overhaul of the trending topics section. Facebook will no longer rely on external news websites or RSS feeds to, quote, identify, validate, or assess the importance of trending topics, according to a statement from the company. Facebook is also renaming some of the tools its curators use to moderate the trending news section in order to get to better reflect the real nature of the actions. Most notably, the blacklisting tool used to block naturally trending topics from inclusion in the trending section will be named Revisit. And the injection tool used to insert trending topics or combine several topics into one is also being reframed as a, quote, topic correction tool.
So that is something that we use as users of Facebook, or that the people who are like grabbing the trending topics are going to use?
The people who are managing the trending topics.
Oh, so okay.
Some of what they're doing is renaming certain tools so that people don't use them in like definitionally different ways. Because if you're holding off on a news story I guess changing the blacklisting tool to Revisit is less, you know, this story should not be, we should blacklist this story to, we should revisit the story at a later time, see if it's actually relevant. The injection tool being the topic correction tool they're used the same, but changing the definition, I guess, will maybe help people make different decisions. Spotify upgraded its family plan to match Apple Music. It now allows 6 people to use it for a fee of $15 a month, quite the difference from its previous offering of 5 people for $30 a month.
Whoa! I did not know that's what it was.
What you're using Apple Music.
I use Apple Music. That's right. I've never paid. I don't think I've ever paid for Spotify. That might be a lie. I hope it's not. I don't think I have.
I pay for Spotify.
Okay.
Just one account.
Okay.
Yeah, and then if my wife has priority, so if you're on the same account, and then I'm listening to it on my computer at work, and then she turns it on from her iPhone, it just steals it from me.
Yeah. Mm.
And then she gets to keep it. I can't steal it back.
Gotcha.
I have to switch to my non-premium account.
We actually had that problem at my work because we have a Sonos system, 3 speakers around the office, and it's on somebody's Spotify account. So if you separate the speakers and start one while the other's playing, it just kills the other one because it's the same Spotify. And we actually just recently discovered that that was what was going on.
Oh, nice.
Because it was pretty, like, I mean, you wouldn't think of that because it's all a connected system. But yeah, I guess it's 2 separate streams on the back end or something. Anyway, Tank, are you going to get the family plan now that it's only $15?
No, I don't mind listening to ads for the short times where she's using it. So I just pull up the browser version and listen to it.
Makes sense. So,
fair enough.
No need to pay 5 more.
I think that this one is, people might wonder why we put this one in the lineup. I think it's important because it proves that Apple Music has grown quickly and is scaring Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because last I checked, Spotify had 20 million subscribers when Apple Music was announced, and Apple Music in the first year got up to 13 million. It took Spotify multiple years to get to 20. So, and I mean, that's probably speaks more to just the power of Apple than anything, but you know, it's interesting to think about that they were able to grow so quickly.
Yeah. Yep.
I wonder if Spotify's dropped, how much of that was Spotify customers?
Good question. Don't know.
Microsoft announced this week that it's laying off almost 2,000 people to streamline its smartphone business, says Satya Nadella. We are focusing our phone efforts where we have differentiation with enterprises that value security, manageability, and our continuum capability, and customer and consumers who value the same. We will continue to innovate across devices and on our cloud services across all mobile platforms. So this is a big move for Microsoft away from really focusing on smartphone stuff. It's kind of at some, you know, at one point it's kind of obvious why, because they are really still kind of failing at it. But at the other, on the other side, it's Microsoft. You'd think they'd keep really working at this, but I don't know. Maybe they have something different planned.
So do you think this means they're not going to make any more Windows phones?
Well, they've sold off Nokia. Already. So I don't.
Nokia? Who says Nokia?
I've heard people say Nokia. I think that might be actually how it's pronounced.
I've never heard that either.
But all right, maybe now I'm just an ignorant American, but I've always heard Nokia.
You too.
All of our international listeners are going to be like, no, we all say Nokia. Well,
not
I'm
if
sorry.
It's a Japanese company.
Right. Right. So, and there's still rumors of a Surface phone about. So it's possible they'll still keep working at it, but, you know, who knows? Foursquare is making itself a bot called MarsBot. It functions proactively, noticing where you are and giving you tips on places around you before you think to look them up. The company said in a blog post, "Our goal is to create a product that tells you where to eat or drink before you think to ask for it. It would deliver contextually aware, proactive recommendations for awesome food and nightlife spots via the simplest communications channel possible, text." It looks like more of an experiment than anything, but an interesting experiment, at least. Do any of you still use Foursquare?
I don't. I've gone through two seasons of using Foursquare, and the first one was it just came out, and it was like the cool new hot thing, right? That was in college. The second one, I think it actually still might have been on the tail end of college, but it was like all of my friends were like, hey, we're going to try Foursquare again. Mm-hmm. Like, you should do it with us. And I was like, no, this is a terrible idea. But I finally succumbed to peer pressure.
Yeah.
And I regret it.
Reddit has created its own image uploading tool for itself, beginning to elbow out Imgur's place. Again, is it Imgur? Imgur? Whatever. A place in its business.
Imgur?
I don't think I've ever tried to pronounce it out loud before right now. It's probably not good.
It's got
to
be Imgur, right? Like an imager? Like something that images something?
Maybe. I'm going with Imgur for now, even though it makes me sound stupid.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
maybe a future tech you should know will just be how to pronounce all these different company names.
Up until now, Reddit had no way of hosting images or GIFs on its service, so Imgur was an informal partner of sorts. But now, once it's rolled out to your community, you will be able to upload images up to 20 megabytes and GIFs up to 100 megabytes. Google just won a major court battle with Oracle over Google's use of elements of the Java programming language in Android. I'm just going to give you a heads up. I don't understand much of what's going on in the details of this, not being a developer. But it is a huge win for Google. If Oracle won this battle, not only would Google have had to pay up $9 billion in damages, it would also create precedent for companies to sue over APIs and change the landscape of how software is developed. And that's all the tech you should know this week. If we left something out that you think we should have considered, feel free to email us at ask@techreformation.com. And for more tech you should know throughout the week, follow us on Twitter @TechReformation.
Now it's time for Tech You Should Use, the part of the show where we feature one technology that's been helpful for us and that we think will be beneficial to you too. So this week, we are going to discuss Heroku. Have either of you guys heard of Heroku? Just curious before
yes.
I go into it.
I have not, so okay. Lay it on me.
Cool. So Heroku, that was actually kind of what I expected, because Heroku is a developer tool. This will be a very software development focused tech you should use. But what it does, it's a way to host your code and will actually host your entire application. So, for instance, if I were to write a website, whatever that website may be, suppose a blog, I could publish it to Heroku, and then my blog would be visible. And that seems like everybody has to do that if they want a website. That seems normal, but a little bit what's special about it is it uses Git. And so Git is pretty much what all software developers use as source control to save their code somewhere other than their computer, along with cooperating with a large team. Git makes it really easy to collaborate between teams. That could be its own tech you should use. But anyway, so it makes it really easy to publish it to the Heroku server, so to the production where it'll actually get published. And then Heroku handles all the fancy server management that you might have to deal with. So, for example, I published a website to just a server that I had complete control over, and I had to set up users. I had to try to set up security. I probably failed. So if you ever find my website, you can destroy it if you want to. Please don't. But you have to set up all this stuff. You have to SSH into it. You have to open a port. It wasn't a very simple experience. It took about a weekend just to get just to learn how it all worked. But Heroku, if you know how to publish to GitHub, then you know how to publish to Heroku. And you just push it up there, and it will run your code. It supports many different languages now. Node, Scala, Clojure, Ruby, Go. Probably missing one or two. And that has increased since I started using it about a year ago. So it's ever increasing. So if you've been looking for a place to publish your app, definitely check into Heroku. They actually will let you run one app for free if it's just a small one. You can, like I host our Slack bot. I host it entirely for free now, starting June 1st on Heroku. And then you can also, just for a slight performance boost if you need it, you can host it for $7. And then they get all the way up to $500 a month if you are like an enterprise company. So, yeah. Anybody have any thoughts on Heroku?
I think I had heard about the free one free app thing, which is really cool. It will make me probably try out Heroku. I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard about it, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun. I actually have to build an app for my church. It's a pretty small one, but maybe I can host it there.
Nice. Yeah, for those, just to clarify, they're changing their free model for those of you who may have heard it in the past. Used to, it would run, but then if nobody went to your site long enough, it would sleep. And when somebody went again, it would take a decent moment to start back up. And then it would go again for a while until it slept. This one, now they're giving people 1,000 hours a month for free to run, which I did the calculation, and there's 750 hours total in a month. So you can actually split it where your app runs one app runs 500 hours and the other one runs 500 hours, or one app runs 750 and another one runs 250. So just for those of you who have heard of Heroku and didn't like their free model, it's actually been upgraded in a way that I really like, which was the inspiration for this tech you should use.
Upgraded free plans are amazing.
Yep.
You could just build an app that hits your other app on the current free plan, and then it would not ever spin down.
There was actually, so part of the bot, it does that. Like, you can set up something where it will just keep pinging your app to keep it alive. It's called Heroku-keep-alive. But the problem is, on that plan, it had to stay dead for, I think, 6 hours out of the day. So even if you pinged it awake, it would just stay dead. So your bot would have to sleep for maybe at the least active hours or whatever. But so they thought of that first. Good loophole. And that's the tech you should use this week.
So we need some help from our listeners for next week's Tech You Should Use. We got an email in the inbox at ask@techreformation.com from Jerome Danner, who's been a listener to the show for a while now and has been very active on Twitter with us, which is great. Thank you for that, Jerome. Anyway, Jerome wants to know which laptop is the best laptop to use and if we've talked about that. I don't think we have.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so we're going to do it next week for Tech You Should Use. And what we need from you guys, the listeners, is to tell us what you use or what you've heard is good so that we can get a head start on what to check out. Because there are probably, at this point, an infinite number of laptops out there, and we just can't research them all. So help us out. Give us a head start in the Slack this week in listener feedback. Just send us a message of the greatest laptops out there.
Or what you look for in a laptop, or like what are the things you look for? What do you definitely need to have in a laptop, and what is optional? You know, give us all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so you know, your storage space, your RAM, your processing power, anything like that that is important to you, let us know. Graphics chip, if you're a gamer, let us know. And you can do that in the listener feedback channel of the Slack, which is at slack.techreformation if you need to sign up to get in. slack.techreformation.com. This week, we are going to play a game.
Oh boy, what game? What game are we playing, Ben?
We usually play some Google game called Google Feud, but we're not going to play Google Feud this week.
Oh, well, what are we going to play, Ben?
We're going to play Google Trends.
This sounds different, Ben. So it what is. Are the rules, Ben?
So I'm going to put you and Tank head-to-head because I'm staring at the trends right now, so that would be cheating.
That's true.
Against each other, and you will each have to choose an option. I'll let you alternate to see who picks first, and then the other person will automatically be assigned to the one that wasn't picked. So sorry about you, person who picks last. But we're going to go back and forth for a couple of rounds, and what I'm doing for these first two pairs is only looking at stuff we've already talked about this episode. So what you're going to do is answer a question about a trend on Google. So if our listeners want to check this out, go to trends.google.com. It's pretty awesome. If you like data analytics like I do, you can slice and dice this stuff all over the place. It's great.
Woo, ready to win.
Round one. Go with Derek first. Which trend in the last 7 days has been searched more? Is it Spotify or Apple Music?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to go with Apple Music.
So, Tank, you choose Spotify by default. There will be no autonomous choice in this game for one of you. All right. Actually, Apple Music is incorrect.
Okay. Woo.
Spotify has been searched more. Tank, you get a point.
Cool. I totally would have chosen Apple Music. So.
Yes, I don't feel as dumb.
Okay, next up, round two, and this one's going to be a little bit harder. In which country has the phrase Windows Phone been searched the most? Okay, I'm going to give you choices. Is it Ghana? Is it Cameroon? Is it Zimbabwe? Or is it Sri Lanka?
Wow.
Okay, so two questions. First, is this percentage? Nah, that doesn't matter. I don't know the population of any of this. I was going to ask if it was like percentage of people, but that's dumb.
I think it's just hits, actually.
Yeah, that makes sense. Second question, does that mean Derek has to choose from one of the remaining three?
Yes, that is correct. I'm sorry. I switched it up and gave you four choices.
Cool.
I thought it would be not as fun if I gave you only two on this one.
That makes sense. Well, let's see. So today I put on was wearing my shirt and I looked at the tag and it said made in China. And that just, I feel like that gives me a tendency towards Cameroon because they both start to C, but with C. But I'm going to go with Zimbabwe. Final answer.
All right. Can't go to Zimbabwe.
I was trying to make fun of whose line is it? No. Who wants to be a millionaire?
I'll go with Sri Lanka.
And the answer is number one, Ghana. Number two, Cameroon. Number three, Zimbabwe. And number four, Sri Lanka.
Wow.
I actually read them off in order. I was really hoping you guys wouldn't figure that out.
Nice. So do I get a point or did neither of us get a point?
I think Tank gets a point on that one since he was more right than I.
Because you were closer to the first most chosen.
2 points.
Most searched. All right. Now we're going to do a history question. So hang on 1 second. Judges are tabulating the data. So now I'm looking for specifically in the United States from 2004 to present, in what year was BlackBerry Googled the most? All right, I'll give you some choices. Your choices are 2008 or 2010. And Derek, it goes to you.
I'll go with 2008.
Derek goes with 2008. So Tank chooses 2010, and Tank is correct.
Ah, man, I was going to choose 2010.
And I've just realized I don't know if we've talked about BlackBerry yet. So,
that's all right. We didn't talk about it, but that's okay.
For some reason, when we started talking about Windows Phone, I immediately thought of BlackBerry, and so I put that in there.
Gotcha.
They've both kind of gone the same direction, if you know what I mean. All right, you guys want to do one more round?
One more. Okay. Well, yes.
One more round. All right. So, for anybody who is in our Slack channel, this one will seem familiar. You can actually, in Slack, you can do custom emojis. And so we have some custom emojis of a few dead theologians. Okay. So we've got a John Calvin emoji. We've got a Martin Luther emoji. And we have a Jonathan Edwards emoji. I'm entering them into Google Trends as I say them. So I want to know from you guys which one has been Googled more. And it'll be worldwide, not just specific to the United States. And we're going to do it in the year 2008.
Graduation year. I'm feeling good about it.
That's why I chose
Luther.
Tank's going with Luther.
That's high school graduation, just in case I'm screwed.
I'll go with Calvin.
And Derek goes with Calvin. And Luther is the most Googled.
Woo.
So Tank gets a point.
Man.
And Calvin is
a shutout right here.
Second most Googled. So you were close. But if you look at the graph, it's not close at all. Luther has a ton more. I don't know why. I guess just Reformation stuff, maybe people link his name more to the historical events.
I feel like more people know Martin Luther's name than they know of Calvin's name.
Yeah, it's probably true. I don't know. They both started a denomination.
Yeah, but Luther was kind of responsible for the whole like Protestant Reformation of all of that. So
no, Derek, that was God.
Fair enough, Ben. Fair enough.
One that I'm curious of, who wins? And out of all time, Derek, Ben, or Ryan, or Tank?
Just the first names?
We'd better go with Ryan. That would be more fair. I was thinking first names.
Just the first names. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me enter those in.
For the listeners who don't know, my first name is Ryan, not Tank. But
we call him Tank because of his last name.
Yeah.
All right. And I think you won that entire round, didn't you?
Oh, Tank? It was completely. Yeah. Completely.
Yeah. Did you win all the points?
All the points.
All the points. All right. Sure. Well, this is interesting. Do you want to know worldwide over the course of history, like 2004 to present?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. I am going to post this in the Slack because the data is a little bit tricky. What it looks like is over time, back to 2004, Ryan and Ben were competing with each other. They kind of zigzag up and down. Derek is nowhere near the other two.
I have a unique name. And then
somewhere around 2007, something happens and people start Googling Ben a ton, like way more than the other two. Up to 2010, it spikes. And then you go to 2011. In June of 2011, there was a huge spike in Ryan. I have no idea why.
What was I doing that year?
Which jumps over Ben and then falls back down very shortly after. And then up to today, basically Ben is at the top. There's another spike in Ryan around August 2012, but it doesn't pass over Ben. And Derek just kind of flatlines the bottom the entire time. Sorry.
Nobody loves
That's interesting.
Me.
So that is Google Trends, the game. You should check it out at trends.google.com. It's fun.
Our sponsor this week is Olive Tree. If you've been looking for good Bible software that works on all your devices from iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, Mac, PC, Olive Tree is what you want. It is a free application to get started. You can buy resources a la carte. They start you off with a couple of Bible translations, and as you grow, you can grow your library. They have commentaries. They have zillions of different translations. They even have like just regular books that make it easy for you to read in app and look up Bible references as you're going. They really make it nice to study different books in general. Plus, you don't have the roadblock of having to pay thousands of dollars to get it initially and get all these resources that you may or may not need. It's very easy to get started. You can go download it in your favorite app store of choice and download it today and start playing around with it. If you decide to buy anything, you can use our gift code, TRP16, for 20% off of everything on the site. And they regularly have deals and stuff going every week, too. So once you create an account, you'll start getting emails about, hey, this is now like 50% off. They have some crazy deals. It's pretty great. So check it out, olivetree.com, TRP16. And thank you to Olive Tree for sponsoring this week's show.
Two brothers, one podcast, and a whole bunch of theology. Welcome to the Emmaus Project Podcast.
I am Ty Hilbert,
the Emmaus Project Podcast.
I'm Caleb with the Emmaus Project Podcast,
where we remind you that Jesus loves exposition.
Our favorite preachers are expositors, and we ourselves are expositors, and we are convinced of the importance and need for exposition.
Our name comes from Luke 24:13-33.
The world has two fundamental problems. They do not understand the scriptures, and they misunderstand Jesus.
It is our goal to explain the scriptures and encourage our listeners to fall in love with the Word of God.
We discuss many theological topics and attempt to demonstrate what the scriptures teach about those subjects. We interview people who have spent time studying the scriptures.
We also have a lot of segments such as a heresy, where we compare what the major preachers, teachers say to the Word of God.
We have a lot of fun with the podcast.
So join us for this Christ-centered, biblical concentrated, and gospel-focused podcast.
Okay, Derek, since you won... Wait a minute, you didn't win. Okay, Derek, since you lost the game...
There we go.
You can intro our main topic this week.
That sounds better. Okay, so there is an article... Actually, it's a video by Ars Technica. Talking to random New Yorkers, you know the drill, talking to normal people about things that you're interested in and seeing what answers they come up with. One of those type of videos. And the title is called "Are Smartphones De-evolutionizing Humanity?" I found this very interesting. This is a topic that comes up pretty frequently. I feel like when I'm talking to people, especially older people who have seen the rise of technology, the pervasiveness of cell phones and all of that, and see the differences between, you know, before technology was so, except like this, the kind of technology we use today is so accessible and so used. And now that, and just they see the differences. And the people in the video come up with some interesting answers. One said, people can't, this was an older man on the video, people can't communicate with each other anymore. They have to send each other messages. It's crazy. A woman said, it's very uncomfortable to not be with my phone, which I guess is a problem. I wouldn't say it's a bad thing necessarily, except for a lot of people who spend a lot of time on their phone and don't take the time to smell the roses. And another woman said this: we're not using our brains like we used to. We don't have to think anymore because all we have to do is Google something we don't know. We don't have to look around anymore because if we're lost, we just look on our phones for directions. What are your guys' initial thoughts on that subject? Are we being made dumb by our technology?
So my first thought was about something I heard a while back. I can't remember exactly where, but that's kind of funny because what I heard was that because of Google, we are able to outsource our memory. So we no longer yes. have to force ourselves to remember things. Mm-hmm. And I guess the same with phone numbers and addresses and everything. A little bit of what that lady said was we get to outsource our memory to our phones. And so we're losing the ability to remember, remember as well as we perhaps may have used to whenever we practiced memory. Because mm-hmm. as you may have heard from like those memory competitions, they would probably tell you that you can train your memory and make it stronger and better. But now that we don't have to force ourselves to remember digits and numbers and addresses and stuff, well, we don't have to train it. And so we are forgetting things, such as where we hear fun tidbits of knowledge just like that, which I would agree with. I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben, did you have any thoughts initially?
I've actually thought about this once before. I just don't remember when.
Man, the memory jokes today just keep coming.
And it's an interesting idea. They actually talk about this in education also. Mm-hmm. Like the sense we kind of go, at least I don't know how it is around the world, but in America we sort of go, it's like a pendulum swinging from one side to another where you're doing more just rote memorization of facts, mm-hmm. Versus more, you know, doing calculations or deriving things from other things.
Yeah.
And there's fancy words for those in that field that I don't know. But someone who's listening to this probably does know them. So just let us know on Twitter maybe. But anyway, we sort of, you know, like our parents' generation was more the rote memorization side and our generation is more the other side. And during, you know, during the one period of time, people, you know, voices in the wilderness are like, we should go back to this time. And then mm-hmm. other voices that are more progressive are like, no, this is better than how it was. But my immediate thought is of that debate and also is that it's not that we know less, it's that we know different things.
Yeah.
And just as a simple example, and I know that this might seem silly, but it is an example, like when we were talking about workplace automation, if machines take our jobs, we still have to run the machines. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, even if we go to everything for Google, we still have to learn how to Google. And certain things are easy to Google, but some things, like if you've ever been programming, you know that some things are hard to Google
yeah.
and find the right answer. And so, you know, you still have to learn other things and know other things. You may just not have to memorize as many facts. Like I don't know, have to know the population of the US, even though I know it's 300 million, I don't have to know that because I can Google it. But I don't know, why would that kind of information serve you at any given point? I don't know.
Yeah, right. It turns us into finding the information that we need when we need it, and we don't need to fill up our brain space with the things that we will usually not need. It's the whole argument against not using, or against using calculators in a school setting, like in a math class. You don't use calculator. You need to be able to do it yourself so that you know how to do it. Otherwise, you won't know how to actually do the math. You'll just know how to get a calculator to use it. Even mm-hmm. though now everyone has a calculator on them all the time, relatively speaking, I know there are some people that still don't have smartphones. But for the most part, the large majority of Americans have smartphones. And when they need to, they can, you know, find whatever they want.
Just ask the Google machine. Exactly. Yeah, that's a great example too, and probably a more practical one. By the way, I did just Google population of the U.S. just in case. And
how did you know
I
that?
Was pretty much right on. It's 318 million, but oh. I knew it was somewhere around there.
Nice.
But yeah, I just thought, man, if actually I don't know what I'm talking about there and someone who's listening does, I'm going to seem like a real big idiot.
That's funny.
So yeah, that's good news, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one way it could be I wonder if this is a fair comparison. You know, like we say, you're saying that the derivation of things. So you shouldn't use Google. You should memorize it. You shouldn't use a calculator. You should know how to do it. Would it be fair to say, well, then you shouldn't go buy meat from a store. You should go hunt it and kill it and skin it and cook it yourself. Because, hey, what if you're going somewhere where there's not a store? Then you're just going to be lost. You can't go find the store and you won't know what to do. It's like if you try to apply that to everything, then it gets obviously ridiculous.
Yeah.
We outsourced our hunter-gatherer skills to stores.
Mm-hmm. The problem is a lot of people think about technology as smartphones and computers. And in reality, technology spans a much larger... it spans just about everything that we deal with on a regular daily basis. Technology is the pens that we're using, the paper that we're using, the printers, you know, mm-hmm. that we print things off on, you know, the scissors that Ben has in his hand right now for some creepy reason.
Derek, come on.
And things, even things like infrastructure, like the fact that there are stores, there are people who raise beef and kill it so that we can go buy it and eat it. You know, that the technology of having that infrastructure of creating things for people to consume like that is a technology in and of itself that, say that were to go down, we would have no access to that kind of thing. This is the whole thing of what The Walking Dead is built around, you know, that interest with what if everything goes away and we have to live on our own, you know, how does society survive? But
also zombies
and zombies. Yeah. Right.
Derek, it sounds like you've been teaching on, or maybe thinking a lot about technology lately.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of you have heard me mention here and there that I taught an elective on technology at church during our Sunday school hour. And it was a very interesting book. I got to find the title. The title of the book is From the Garden to the City. Yes, From the Garden to the City. And it takes a biblical approach to looking at technology and looking at how exactly it affects our lives and, you know, how we should evaluate it and everything. And you go back a lot. The problem with this question that people have of, you know, what if the GPSs suddenly go out and we can't find our way, you know, the next, whenever we need to go somewhere, in like the next week. That question has in actuality existed all throughout every major technological development that we've had as a species. Even going back to the printing press, I mean, before the Bible, well, just even just think of how the Bible was communicated down through the generations, down through the Jews into the Christian era, and what was going on back then was people were memorizing the Torah and all of the Bible up until then. They were passing it down, memorized perfectly, and occasionally written down on scrolls, but that was, you know, inefficient, so that wasn't done a whole lot. But you bring along something like the printing press when you can write down everything that you think, and you can make it available mass-produced, and you don't have to keep that memorized anymore. You can concentrate on doing other things. That kind of progress is exactly what technology does, period. Even if you think about a hammer, you no longer have to think about how am I going to get this nail or this cylinder of wood, you know, bashed into this other piece of wood so that it stays together. Once you produce a hammer, you no longer have to think about how to do that. It makes your life easier. So that's what I'm thinking about when talking about this kind of thing. Go ahead, Ben.
Random factoid. I learned a few weeks ago that Time Magazine one time did a list of the top 10, the impact of the top 10 innovations in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you know what number one was?
The iPhone.
No.
Right?
The hammer.
No.
Darn. Am I thinking of the wrong?
Maybe they've done multiple lists, but on this one that I saw, it was Gutenberg prints the Bible. It was not the printing press. It was Gutenberg prints the Bible.
Yes.
Which is really, really interesting to me.
Yep. Because the Bible became how everybody thought through the word. That shaped, that act in and of itself shaped so many generations of people because that was the book that was highly accessible to everyone, more than any other writing. So
I wonder if they were asking Gutenberg if printing the Bible would make us all dumber because we wouldn't have to memorize it.
Right. I'm sure that conversation has happened somewhere along the line. I've even heard similar arguments to that when going from, okay, you have a print Bible to a Bible on your phone. Do you read your Bible as much when it's on your phone, when you have a cell phone that distracts you or is a multitasker, whereas the Bible is something like it's a routine. It's a, this is what you use to learn God's word. And that kind of analysis isn't terribly helpful when we're talking about evaluating technology.
I was thinking about, on this topic, I was thinking about, relative to with memorization of scripture, just like relative to I can Google whatever verse I want whenever I want from my phone. So why would I memorize anything? And it made me think of this last week. I started Systematic Theology 1 at Southern with Bruce Ware. And I was listening to one of the classes, or watching it or whatever. And he was talking about how a lot of the verses that we use for memorization, for encouraging others to memorize scripture, are actually about meditation. And he was saying that, you know, it's funny, when you meditate on scripture, memorization typically happens anyway. And I was just thinking, you know, it's hard for me, after hearing that, it's hard for me to even separate the two. I realize they're different, but it seems like they go so hand in hand. And I began to think, if I really didn't memorize any scripture and I had to look it up every time or go to pull my Bible out every time, for me, it would be harder to meditate.
Yeah.
Right. Because even just the act of pulling it out of a bag or going to Google to look it up detracts from the focus of the meditation. If I just know, you know, a passage or a verse or even maybe a chapter or a book, I can be thinking about that no matter what context I'm in. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and technology, and this is where we start to get into how do we evaluate technology successfully? What do you know, by what metric do we say that a technology is good or bad, or that a certain, you know, keeping your Bible on hand for reference is better or worse than memorizing it or for meditation or those kinds of things? And we have to keep in mind that even though we just talked about saying that this makes us forget this other task makes it bad, saying that is not the right way of evaluating it, that is a proper metric to throw into the mix. But you also have to take into consideration what it comes good from it.
Well, it seems to me like we have three choices with technology. Which I feel like as Christian people, you know, these are the three choices we have with most things, maybe everything. Culturally, we can, you know, we can either reject it, you know, so you might, with technology, you might think of maybe an Amish society where, you know, there's as little technology as possible. You can receive it. So then you might think of more of a progressive church where, you know, kind of like Derek was talking about earlier, satellite campuses and things like that, which, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. Anyway, you can think of a more progressive church, like, you know, including satellite campuses or online baptisms or virtual reality, Lord's Supper, things like that, where it's really just about embracing in whatever way we can the technology and trying to sort of make it fit our Christian worldview. Or you can go the third option, which is redeem it, it seems like. And I think that's what we're trying to do when we say reforming technology or tech reformation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And all technology can be good or bad. But it's not necessarily a question of good or evil. All technology can be good. All technology can be good and evil, but it's never neutral. We always have to think about that technology in and of itself affects culture in a particular way. So take, for instance, the Gutenberg, the printing press, that affected culture in an insanely important way. And the effects of that created what the culture was back then. It made such a huge impact. Same with like the iPhone. The iPhone has made such a huge cultural impact. It can't possibly be neutral as a technology. And it's not necessarily good or bad, but we have to keep in mind that these things change our lives. We just want to make sure they're changing them in the way that we want them to. Thinking critically about technology is part of redeeming technology. And yeah, it's just very important.
So are you saying that you wouldn't necessarily say that it is neutral?
I would not say that it is neutral.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because
let's talk about that next week.
Yeah. Yeah. But you'll be away, but
yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, that is a topic I want to get into at some point, but I want to prepare a little bit more for that. But it is,
I'm not saying, you know, that I would argue with it necessarily, but yeah. I would love to hear your ideas and your thoughts on it.
Oh yeah. Yep. It's fascinating. Yeah. Because realizing that technology is not neutral suddenly changes the entire way you think about technology. So yeah, tune into a future episode. We'll talk more about that.
So do you guys have any recos this week?
Man, air conditioners are the bee's knees.
Air conditioners?
It's starting to get warm here in good old PA.
So go out and get yourself an air conditioner. If you have a few spare dollars.
Get your wife an air conditioner. Get your baby an air conditioner. Get your dog an air conditioner. Okay, I'm done.
I will just recommend a YouTube video that I thought of whenever Walking Dead was brought up. It is How to Survive the Walking Dead, and the sketch comedy is Studio C. They're most famous for Scott Sterling, if you know that. But if not, look up Scott Sterling too.
I do not okay. know.
Man, neither of you know Scott Sterling. Alrighty. All right, I'm going to do a dual recommendation. They'll both be in the show notes. First, The Walking Dead, How to Survive the Walking Dead, which is hilarious. Second, Scott Sterling, the man, the myth, the legend. Yeah, and then once you thoroughly enjoy those two, just check out all of Studio C. They're hilarious. So,
as an aside, have you heard of Cyanide and Happiness, Tank?
Yes, I have.
In my mind, that's what you just said is like. Is that fair or no?
No, no. Studio C?
Not at all.
Yeah. No, not at all. So Studio C is actually, they started as Brigham Young's sketch comedy. And so really? They are very family friendly because they're all Mormons, every one of them.
Wow.
However, they're also hilarious. So.
Okay, gotcha.
Sweet.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, all right. And if you would like to get in contact with us, you can jump in our Slack channel. It's the best place to be, the hopping place with all the new sweet, cool podcasts and all their listeners. Come in, hang out, and chat.
Yeah, what
at
all?
slack.techreformation.com.
Yeah, what all podcasts do we have in there now? We have The Rugged Marriage, we have Helvetic, a podcast, Calvinist Batman
and Friends, and Jeremy's also in there too, but he hasn't asked us for an after the sermon channel yet, so if he does want one, Jeremy, you
just let us know.
We'll tell you how much it costs.
Yep.
Just kidding.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation and like us and share our posts on Facebook. You can visit our website to search for past shows and topics as well. So if there's something that we mentioned in here that interests you that we want to see if we've talked about before, you know, make a quick search in the little search bar up there in the website and yeah, check that out first.
You can also email us at ask@techreformation.com. Feedback, questions, comments, whatever. We'd love to hear them.
We are a part of
the...
We are a part of the Theology Mix Network.
Okay, everybody together now.
We are a part of the Theology Mix Network. That works terribly over Skype.
Derek will sync up all the audio and it'll sound beautiful.
The links to the website and iTunes are down in the show notes. Check them out.
And don't forget to review us on iTunes and recommend us on Overcast. And by the way, I know I say this every week, and it's like, oh, he's just saying the usual bit, but I actually do need you guys to review us on iTunes and recommend us on Overcast, because that's how people hear about us. We increasingly every week hear more and more about people who find out about this podcast from iTunes reviews or Overcast recommendations, especially Overcast recommendations. We are like the top or the second to the top, pretty consistently in the religion and spirituality section of Overcast. And so that really helps us. If you've done it once and you're listening to this new episode, feel free to do it again, especially if you like it, because it keeps us in the top of the rankings. And if you like this music, it's by Matthew Parker, just in case you didn't know. He's a sweet dude. Check him out. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
My recommendation.
Oh well.
Wait, Derek, did you not like that?
No, that was good.
Okay, you had a face that was like,
I am so warm right now. I can't. I don't have any fans running in here because we're recording. So
understood.
That slight glint on my face that you see, just that slight film of sweat.
Oh.
Yes.